an attention-getting story on MLive today that I have to drop in here. Apparently, a man in Ionia County woke up to find himself laying in the middle of M21 in Ionia Township, apparently with no recollection of how he got there. Authorities in Ionia County are now asking for help in identifying or tracing the whereabouts of Kyle Robertson. This is according to MLive. Kyle Robertson, age 23, and this happened yesterday morning. He advised police he found himself lying in the road on East Blue Water Highway, that's M21 and 4th Street in Ionia Township, 10:46 p.m. This was late last week. Non-life-threatening injuries took him to Sparrow Hospital. Senator Jones, you ever, in all your years in law enforcement, you must have encountered something like this once or twice.
In 31 years, I saw many cases like this. Alcohol is a poison, and it occasionally causes blackouts if people have too much. I try to preach everything in moderation.
Okay. Well, Senator Rick Jones is indeed our lead guest here today on Current State. We are here to talk about all kinds of issues. The state legislature's summer break begins later this week. That has meant, of course, a surge of activity this week to finish a new state budget and to further address one of the state's biggest issues, road funding. Senator Jones joins us now to discuss those and his measure that would amend Michigan law on strip searches. Great to see you today.
Good to see you.
The legislature wraps up here later this week. The governor wants a road funding measure on his desk by the end of the week. Is road funding dead or alive for this session?
Well, it's very much alive, and I hope it can be accomplished. There's three things on the table. The House passed a change to wholesale tax, sent it to the Senate. Basically, that would raise a gallon of gas 20 cents over the next 3 or 4 years. The leader of the Senate, Randy Richardville, has suggested that is not enough money, and he is correct, it's not enough. And he has suggested a formula that would raise your gas tax on gasoline per gallon about 45 cents over 4 years. The other option out there is putting a penny sales tax on the ballot. Now, I favor that. 1% sales tax locked into roads and bridges could not be transferred away. And, for example, this morning I talked in a coffee shop to numerous people, and they overwhelmingly support 1 penny sales tax. They don't like the other options. One senior says, I'm on a fixed income. I have a fixed pension. I have Social Security. He says, every year I see my buying power go down. Please, he said, don't raise the gas. Don't raise my license plate. I talked to a waitress who was a single mom. She says, my biggest expenses are food and rent and gasoline to get to work. She said, I don't care if you raise sales tax. I don't buy much. And Michigan doesn't tax food anyway. So she says, that's the way to do it. Don't raise my gasoline.
It's interesting, though, because there are critics who claim the sales tax, increasing the sales tax would be regressive.
Yes, typically, that is the Democrat mantra, that sales tax is regressive. But if you actually go out and talk to the working poor, they will tell you sales tax doesn't bother. It's this single mom. She says, I get most of my clothing from my children at Goodwill or St. Vincent's. I don't spend a lot in sales tax, but I sure have to buy a lot of food, and I have to pay my rent. Those are my two biggest expenses, and they're not taxed.
I mean, which of these three proposals will be the first to go?
You know, it's hard to say.
Think Senator Richardville's has got the support to go all the way? It would appear doubtful.
He didn't last week. We'll see today. It'll start at 10 o'clock.
Okay. And some of these potholes are being filled. Do you think these incremental improvements in the state's roads might be enough to take road funding? I mean, now we're forced to consider, what if this doesn't move forward? What if it doesn't reappear until later in the year? Are these incremental improvements in the state's roads enough to really take it off the front burner for a while?
I think it does with a lot of people. For example, last week we voted that all of the sales tax collected on gasoline would go to roads if it wasn't the portion that goes to K-12 or to revenue sharing. So that's a start. That's probably $125 million, something like that.
I think a lot of people were surprised to learn how much of the taxes that are paid at the gas pump did not go to roads.
That's true.
That is something of a breakthrough, really, when that was when we learned that, was it not?
Well, a lot of people tell me, just take all the sales tax produced by gasoline and put it into roads. And then I explained to them that creates an $800 million hole in K-12 and about $250 million in revenue sharing, and we simply can't take that much away from those.
Does the sales tax proposal have more support than Senator Richardville's, do you think?
I think it's 50-50 right now.
Real kind of interesting. I want to ask you about the new report from the Michigan Council on Crime and Delinquency. It suggests that the state law that requires 17-year-olds to be charged as adults is not good for teens and isn't making the public safer. I know you're aware of the report. What do you make of that?
Well, I think as a whole, I want to see teens put into rehab, rehabilitation, make them productive children. But we have to be aware that we have some teens that are so psychologically damaged, you would never want them in society again. Two quick examples. We had one teen who murdered a man, he said, because he wanted to see what it felt like. He then cut his head off, took pictures of it, put it in his car, and drove it around. That is not a man I ever want to see in society. Another quick example.
He was how old?
He was 16, I believe. These are all cases that were told to me by prosecutors. Another three young men kidnapped a young lady, drove her around, showing her to gang members as a trophy in their back seat, then continued on into the night, raped her, and murdered her. Somebody that commits a crime so heinous, I don't believe, belongs back in our society.
Kristen Staley is with the Michigan Council on Crime and Delinquency, which compiled this study. She made an interesting comment yesterday suggesting some number of your fellow Republicans are saying they are interested in pretty serious reforms to the juvenile justice system. Let's listen.
Across the nation, there's been a change in terms of conservatives leading the reforms to actually de-incarcerate, to bring more people out of the prison system and more people back into the community so that they can be productive, so they can have jobs, so they can, you know, pay their taxes.
Senator Jones, do you detect the trend that she is talking about? Is that alive in the Michigan legislature?
Well, yes. Joe Haveman from Holland area is very conservative, and he believes truly in his heart that most people are rehabilitated and ready to go back out. However, as a former jail administrator and a sheriff, I can tell you within 1 month, every inmate picks up a Bible, writes a letter to the judge, and says, I have been saved. Please let me out. But when you let them out, it's only about 2% that change.
Mm. The adult time for adult crime measure was signed into law 18 years ago this month, if I remember correctly. Couldn't it be argued that it's worth a review to see how it's working? Or are you convinced it already is working?
You know, I'm willing to review anything, but talk to the victims' families of some of these horrible crimes where people have been tortured and murdered. And then you tell me you want this guy back in society next to your son or daughter. I think not.
Senator Rick Jones is our guest. We're talking about legislative issues. You recently introduced a bill on your committee, Judiciary, that would amend a longstanding law on strip searches in Michigan. This law has been on the books in Michigan since 1927. Explain what your measure would do.
Well, the Michigan Sheriff's Association came to me. They represent 83 sheriffs across the state. And they said our jails are becoming progressively more and more dangerous. We have people coming in with knives, occasionally a gun, razor blades taped to their leg, drugs, very, very common for people to come in with drugs. Now, what does that cause you? It causes you to have more suicides and assaults on other inmates and corrections officers. So the Michigan Safe Jail Act simply says that even if somebody comes in for a misdemeanor, the jail would have the right to make sure that they are searched, and that would mean that they would be searched unclothed by an officer of the same sex. Now, typically in my jail, you would be asked to put on jail clothes. And so if you were concealing something, usually it fell to the ground and it could be retrieved and the jail made secure. It's not just drugs that the inmate is going to use. They can crush them up and put them into other inmates' food and drink. That's one thing I've seen. I've seen a man come in with a, instead of underwear, a bathing suit. He took the string out, the cord, wrapped it around his neck and attempted suicide. We saved him at the last second. This is the sort of thing that a jail administrator has to worry about, the safety of everybody. And I tell people, if you're against searching somebody, strip searching them, how would you feel if your son or daughter, age 18, 19, went in for drunk driving and the inmate next to them had a knife and cut their throat? That's the fact. That could happen.
Are there certain kinds of misdemeanors that you would focus on in this measure, or does it include all of them, or how does that break down?
The problem is you have no idea who the person truly is. I mean, you may have arrested them because they have a warrant on them for not paying a traffic ticket, but they could have concealed a knife or drugs or occasionally a gun on their person. And it happens all the time. As police walk up, typically what does the guy do that's holding something inappropriate? They stick it in their pants, hoping the officer won't find it.
Does this happen regularly, though? I mean, how common is this?
I have personally seen it. I was a officer on the street. I was a sergeant on the street. I later became a jail administrator, then a sheriff. I have seen it all. This is very common.
It is very common. Okay. What are you hearing from opponents about this?
Well, you know,
what do you make of the other
opponents
side?
The opponents are, oh, this is a violation of my rights, and I shouldn't be, you know, searched if you take me into jail for a misdemeanor. And again, I say, if it was your son or daughter in there for some minor offense and the inmate next to them had a knife and hurt them, cut their throat, stabbed them, wouldn't you want that jail to have done their job? The simplest way is to have an officer of the same sex, simply ask them to change clothing to jail clothing, and normally everything falls to the ground at that point.
What is the status of your measure right now? It was just introduced May 27th.
It's simply an introduced bill. It may or may not go through the system. Again, I put it in at the request of the Michigan Sheriff's Association because they want jails to be safer, not just for the officers, but also for the inmates.
Is there a companion bill in the House?
There is not.
Do you know?
There is not.
Okay. And how can you, I mean, tell us about the response so far. On the committee.
This hasn't been brought up in front of the committee. Oh. The only response I'm aware of is the American Civil Liberties Union came out in the media and opposed it, then challenged me to a debate on Fox TV on Sunday, and then withdrew the challenge and told the host of the show, Mr. Langton, we've decided we don't want to take on Jones.
Did you make it to the Mackinac Policy Conference?
I did. And
what was the takeaway for you from your visit there?
The takeaway from there was that everybody believes Detroit will turn around. Businesses are coming in and buying up large sections of Detroit. They're refurbishing buildings. They're making condos. They're making businesses. Quicken is one of the biggest companies. It's in there gobbling up property. Detroit's going to turn around.
But you were an opponent of the grand bargain, correct?
I am, because I simply wanted them to go through the bankruptcy. I felt that was the best way to start over.
Any response to the photo here of this really made the rounds late last week, and I have to ask you about it. The photo of representatives Victory, Glardon, and Battaglia with the fashion magazines joking, don't say we don't understand women.
Well, it's kind of strange. They were actually set up by a colleague who was a female representative, and she gave them her glamour magazines and said, here, hold these. I want to take a picture of you. And so she was joking around in a break between voting. And then somebody from the media also snapped a picture, and so all of a sudden they're in national news. Well, of course, the opposition party tried to make a big deal out of it. You're going to see a lot of this in an election year. And I'm a common sense Republican. And I can tell you this happens on both sides, you know, where they try to pick at somebody's doing something like this. And it's an election year.
The budget process has taken longer this fall, this spring, summer, than it has in the past.
Not by much. I can tell you, I served three terms in the House under Governor Granholm, and we always went till midnight, October 1. And I can tell you that one time they actually put a blanket over the clock saying that time had stopped, and because they still hadn't quite settled the budget, Under this governor, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, the budget gets done in a timely fashion. It's going to be done the end of this week. That is a huge improvement. Why? Because every K-12 school has to have their budget done in July. And if they don't know how much money they're going to get, how can they possibly do a rational budget? So been very successful under these 4 years getting the budget done in a timely fashion.
What's your summer like? I mean, after this week, it's big break for everybody. I think there's two sessions a month planned for the next couple of months. What do you get done typically in the summertime?
Well, it's funny. A lot of people in the media say you're going to be on vacation all summer. I'm taking only 1 week, the first week of July. I'll be working every other week on trying to make Michigan a better place and a safer place and have more jobs.
Senator Rick Jones chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee. He is from Grand Ledge. Thanks for joining us.
Have a great day.